everything you got. Yeah, all right.
I got
gonna take everything you got, baby, yeah. I feel good coming to America. Gonna rip you off.
I gotta move.
Where the police beat up ambulance drivers for no reason. Where the IRS take your money and not tell you where it goes.
Sometimes I feel so nice.
Oh, yeah. Gonna take GM, gonna give it to my friends. Cause I'm a gangster in chief, baby, yeah.
I love to do my thing. And I don't need no one else. Sometimes I feel so nice.
Ooh, when we have 50 million abortions and the stupid people don't even know it's a baby. These suckers is ready, so let's rape them good. Yeah, yeah, woo, yeah, feeling good, man. You want daddy to hurt you real good? Well, get ready. How about I break your nose and knock your teeth out, bitch?
Give it! Give me!
You like SWAT teams and cameras? You're my hoe now. It's the American bitch. I drag her by the hair. She begs me to take it easy. That's when I put cigarettes out on her eyes. And she thanks me, oh. She says, keep doing it, baby, yeah.
I got that thing. Tell me what it's all about. I got soul. And I'm super bad.
That's how it is to be a nation of crack whore, drug addict, brain-damaged prostitutes. That's basically what we are. We're just a totally drugged out, cigarette burns all over us, mindlessly gibbering, watching Saturday morning cartoons, laying in a flea bag hotel with stains all over the carpet, and just the lowest of the low Johns of the world lined up for $5 to have their way with us. We're just covered with slime, and we just watch the TV gibbering and drooling. We don't have any front teeth. And the Federal Reserve just comes in with a nightstick if we ever argue and just beats us in the head. That's who we are. We're a drugged out prostitute who weighs about 90 pounds with cigarette burns all over, with clumps of hair falling out. A crack whore right on the end, right on the edge. Be dead soon. Be taken out and thrown in a river. And nobody in the world will care. Because after all, we were that crack whore. We were that arrogant, evil country. Sucked dry, totally imploded. And I'm sorry to use analogies like that, but that's what we are. A toothless crack whore with crust all over our eyes. We were once beautiful 18-year-old woman who ran away from home, ran away from the church, ran away from goodness. We were going to live on the streets. We were going to make it big in Hollywood. And now we're a crack whore with our hair falling out. We still love the pimp and the drugs he gives us. We worship the pimp. We love him. We kiss his boots. That's who we are. We worship the police. We worship the prisons. We worship the sodium fluoride in the water. We worship our kids dying of cancer being injected. That's who we are. Can we crawl out? Can we make it to a hospital? Could we ever get our soul back? Probably not. The brain's too fried. But see, we're not just one person. We're not just one crack whore. This crack whore symbolizes the body politic which those of us that aren't crack whores and slaves still live in. Then you find out the whole world is a cigarette burn crack whore.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, my friends. It is the 15th day on this Monday. It is Monday, June 15th, 2009. We've got 2 hours left, spanning out like a vista before us as we go in through and beyond, as we talk to one of the most prolific researchers, one of the most prolific minds out there in challenging the established false reality. He is a great dispenser of hundreds of millions of red pills to humanity. And he has taken a lot of people very, very deep down the rabbit hole indeed, to where we're not in Kansas anymore. And you can question and debate the perceptions through the rose-colored darkly that David Icke looks through. But be careful that when you're getting the speck out of his eye, you don't get the giant beam out of yours. It's important to get that beam out. We all see through different perceptions. But certainly the perception of David Icke is proven to be much more clear than the average man or woman out there. So it's always great to have David with us. I have a host of issues I want to talk to him about. Where the New World Order is going, what they're doing currently, trying to start World War III with Iran, trying to stir things up over there, trying to stir things up with North Korea, knowing they're in the middle of a power sharing and a power transfer, saying they're going to board their ships, a new Cuban Missile Crisis. Again, we're not defending North Korea or Iran. The point is, it's the bigger globalist evil using a smaller evil to bring in a global distraction. And the South Ossetia conflict, NATO encircling Russia, Pakistan, all of this today as the world launches into economic collapse, launches into worldwide warfare, as the RAND Corporation has called for. So joining us, DavidIcke.com is the website. Our websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com is the great David Icke. David Icke, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Alex. How are you?
Good. You heard me run down some of the ideas of things that I think are important right now. Let's start with suddenly somebody flips a switch and there's world crises. We're on the edge of nuclear war. They're saying North Korea is going to nuke. They're saying they're going to nuke people. Months ago, you were on the show 3 or 4 months ago and you said you thought they were gearing up for a world war.
Yeah, well, that's where they want to go, because the world wars have served them very well. Nothing changes society quicker and more fundamentally and irreversibly than a war. And so when you look at the world after World War One, it was a world that was controlled by far fewer people and much more centralization of power than before. World War II came along. That process took a giant leap forward, and we had all these global institutions and the United Nations, the Bretton Woods Agreement. The European Union was justified to a large extent to stopping war in Europe. And so to complete the job, to move into this final global society that they want, a third world war is what is on the agenda. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I had a letter from a traffic warden, a guy here in Britain, that's supposed to just dispense tickets for people who have broken the parking laws. And he contacted me, must be a year or so ago now, and said that he'd been called in and given new cards that he was told to take home and put away till further notice. One of them was the card that gave him the right to be a traffic warden that you show for identity. That's fair enough. The second one was what they called a PACE card, which is the words that a police officer reads when he's arresting someone. And the third one was a card giving him, a traffic warden, the right to enter property without permission. And, of course, he's questioning, what the heck do I need these for? Well, just go leave them till further notice. He then meets a friend of his a few days later, who's a police officer, and he said that this police officer said that he was a man designated in his county, and there was someone like him in every county, and they were there to prepare for a coming war, and that the military and the regular police were going to be used to meet what they knew was coming in terms of civil unrest in the streets when that war started, and then the build-up to that war. And he said, you people, traffic wardens and private security guards and other such people, are going to be given powers that the police normally do, so that you can do those things while we're dealing with the civil unrest as a result of this war. And very, very shortly after the traffic warden contacted me, the government changed the name of traffic wardens from traffic wardens to civil enforcement officers, and gave them more powers, not all the powers, but more powers that the police normally do. And then about 6 months later, the government announced a new type of person called accredited persons. And these were, wait for it, private security guards, and all the kind of people that the policemen had listed, who were going to be given the right to stop and question people, to hand out certain fines, to hold them till the police arrived. And it's all part of this layer-by-layer building of self-policing, the people self-policing each other. Because, of course, when there's a few of you and you want to control the many, there's not enough of you physically to do it. So you have to get your target population, or many of the people within it, to police the target population. You have to get the sheep herd to police each other so they don't need so many sheepdogs externally and shepherds externally, that the sheep are doing it for themselves. And this is what's being built all over the world. And this Third World War is definitely in the agenda, because it's a massive problem which will be in need of a global, because of the global nature of the conflict, a global solution, which will be the final move to this structure we've been talking about all these years of world government, world army, and all the rest of it. And of course, the world army will be justified by the only way to stop war is to have one world army, and then no one can fight each other in terms of major conflicts anymore. These are the kind of things we're going to be seeing unfolding.
Okay, David, I just want to back you up. Everything David just said, every term he used, I have hundreds of mainstream articles, government documents. Let me just go over a few of them. The British Ministry of Defense 10-year report, London Guardian reported on it, but it was declassified, 120 pages, was put out in September of 2007, and said in the coming next few years, the public would rebel against the corrupt government, but that their job was to suppress the public to bring us into this new world order. And it said they will, even if the British people, they say, try to march on London, they will use neutron bombs on them. And then Dick Cheney said in the PNAC document, September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, that they would use race-specific bioweapons on us. And now another layer under the paramilitary, you know, the spooks, the paramilitary, the police, the traffic wardens, auxiliary tattletales, there's now the Trusted Traveler North American Hemispheric card. And if you have that flying internally, say from Austin to New York, you show that and go through the head of the line. So they're already making it that if you waive all your rights and take the special card, you get to the head of the line. Then they're just going to make it mandatory for everybody. David Icke.
Well, that's what they do. I mean, they say, oh, this will be voluntarily for the people to decide if they want to have it, like identity cards and stuff like that. But what they then do is make it so difficult to operate in society without one of them. And eventually they say, well, look, there's so few people don't have them now, everyone might as well have them by law and all the rest of it. These are the techniques they use. And, of course, as we've talked about before on the show, Bush was the problem part of this presidential handover, and Obama's been brought in as the person offering the solutions. And of course, the solutions are going to be the unfolding agenda. And one of his solutions, of course, is this civil army, in effect, that he's been talking about, and Rahm Emanuel's been talking about. And that is another key layer of this policing of the people by the people, which is what you had in Nazi Germany, and that's what tyrannies always do. And, you know, people have got to decide how long we're going to talk about this before we draw a line in the sand and say, hey, instead of sitting here and watching our prison being built and discussing it and debating it, what the heck are we going to do about it? Because there's going to come a point where we're going to cross a line where this momentum is going to be very difficult to turn back. It needs a lot of people with a lot of focus and a lot of disconnection of backsides from sofas now before this gets completely and utterly out of hand.
Thank you. highwayman.
Got David Icke with us for another hour and 35 minutes. And what David here is talking about is so important. When you're in a view kind of above yourself, outside the world, realizing that this is a biological earth suit and that the system knows how to program it with hormones and drugs and war and feedback and sex. When they use sex to sell Calvin Klein jeans, they are going at your primitive sexual centers in your lower brain. And just to get the public to realize they're being bombarded, they're being programmed. If you can get them to do that, they kind of wake up out of the trance, realize you're being bombarded, realize there's a game. I mean, I don't know how to quantify this, David, but I mean, to me, the term I would use is just realize that you are being bombarded with data, realize that there is a manipulation going on, knowing it's half the battle.
Well, see, this is so important. I'll give you an example. In my talks, I put some pictures on the screen, which are subliminal advertisements. And most people, the vast majority of people, can't see them because that's what subliminal is, below threshold. The conscious mind doesn't see them, which the conscious mind actually sees very little compared with what actually is in front of it. The subconscious mind, however, picks it all up and affects the person's reality without them realizing it by the message that's been passed through the subliminal image. And then I will put the picture back up again a few minutes later, and the first thing you see, once it's been pointed out, when you see the picture again, is the subliminal. So when people start to realize how it's being done to them, then they bring it from below threshold, subliminal, to the conscious awareness, and the defenses go up, which they don't have to think about them. Naturally, the defense is up once the conscious mind is aware of the game it's involved in. And we need to understand the fundamental significance to the whole conspiracy of something called the reptilian brain. The reptilian brain is where we get, along with other parts of the brain, but massively the reptilian brain, our survival instincts. The reptilian brain is basically stupid.
David, let me stop you. This is not debatable about the reptilian brain. This is a scientific name. In fact, put it up on the screen. Google reptilian brain and show them like a textbook area. That's the lower brain that's breathing, sex, eating, wanting to kill people. I'm just interrupting you because some may think, oh, this is David Icke and his, you know, his other issues with that.
Yeah, the scientists call it the R complex or the reptilian brain because the way it functions and the way it reacts is almost exactly like the brain of a reptile or a lizard.
But it is. I mean, yeah. In fact, students, because my dad went through medical school, students shown a salt crocodile brain can't tell the difference between with a human lower brain. We basically do have a salt crocodile brain. Go ahead.
Yeah, and what happens is that those behind the dark suits, those in the shadows, who understand all this stuff and have worked constantly for centuries to take it out of circulation among the people, so they're in ignorance of the very means through which they're being manipulated. They understand this, and they target the reptilian brain. The reptilian brain is basically stupid. It's a reaction system. It is so computer-like, it's incredible. At that level, the brain does just react like a computer on the desktop, and it doesn't learn from experience. Other parts of the brain learn from experience. The reptilian brain doesn't. Its survival instincts are total. It's constantly scanning the environment, looking for possible dangers as it perceives them. The idea of the manipulation is to give the reptilian brain more and more and more reasons to see things in terms of a threat or a danger, because then all rational thinking disappears, all calm reflection, and let's look at this calmly, disappears. Because the reptilian brain is basically just reacting in a panic. You know, save me, I want me mum. That's what it's doing. And the reptilian brain, interestingly, if we get into this way that people are programmed, communicates through images. This is why images in advertising are so powerful in their manipulation of the reptilian brain, which, as you quite rightly point out, is the sexual center. Why? Because with the reptilian brain, you have to keep one word in your mind all the time, survival.
Well, David Icke, I heartily agree with you, and we're going to talk about a host of issues today. And later in the next hour, let's get into some of your ideas for solutions and breaking free of this matrix. In fact, let's go ahead and start talking about some of that now. Coming up in the next segment, I'm going to play a video clip from a satire movie about sitcoms. But when you watch it, it actually has the same messages that really are in the children's programming and the sitcoms, and they're dumbing the language down, and they're reducing the language. People are being inserted into the matrix as the eyes tie into the television and the computers, and people are texting to their friends who are 5 feet away instead of talking to them. We are beginning to merge into the machines. We're not programming them. We're being programmed through the machines that have been programmed to program us. And the consciousness is closing down with large swaths of the public, while at the same time, another large group is exploding their awakening. And how you see this battle unfolding as we rush towards what the establishment calls the singularity.
You know, this is my area, really, in so many ways, because particularly since about 2002, 2003, I've really gone very, very deeply into the nature of reality, which not many people tend to do. And when you start to realize what reality is, my goodness, does society as it's structured and the way it's structured start to make perfect sense. First of all, it's so important to realize the difference between the body and consciousness. It's not the same thing. Now, you know, we may have differing religions, different people listen to this show, but one thing is kind of common to them is that some kind of consciousness, soul, whatever you want to call it, is apart from the body and leaves the body at what we call death. Therefore, the body and the soul, the consciousness, whatever you want to call it, are not the same thing. The idea of the conspiracy, the very bottom line of the conspiracy, is to disconnect those higher levels of awareness from what is a computer, the body. The body is a biological computer, and it ticks every single box of that. And what I mean by biological is it's not like a desktop computer where you put data in and you press a button and you know exactly what it's going to do because it's programmed to do that, although we're getting more and more like that. Biological computer means it has the ability to think and assess data. This is what the immune system is doing all the time. It's scanning data, what's happening in the body, and reacting to it as it sees fit in the circumstances that it faces. The idea of the conspiracy is to pull people's sense of awareness, the point from which they observe the world, from consciousness, which is not in this world. It is observing and experiencing this world through the body, to pull that point of awareness into the body. Because once it does that, it's pulled you into the computer level of awareness, the computer level of sense of reality. And what that does, it pulls you into all the programs that are running through the body, like software programs. And these are all reaction programs which get you to react to data, i.e. situations they create in the world, in precisely the way they want us to react. So we become little more than biological robots, which is where most people in this world are.
More and more, I mean, I've always known this concept to be true. The scientists and mind warfare experts say it themselves, but now I'm consciously really realizing it. Stay with us.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
You know what Revelation talks about? How the kings of the earth traffic in the souls of men. And, you know, you read the old fables
on your arm,
and it describes kingdoms that were under spells where they couldn't see corruption, couldn't see lies. And once you've committed to lies, little lies, then you start buying into the bigger ones. Torture's okay. Secret arrest is okay. You know, we're the good guys, but we're a country that loves death and destruction. And when you read the psychologists, the sociologist, the anthropologist, the psychiatrist, the Eber Bernays 80, 90 years ago, they all brag how we're dumb slaves. They all brag how they're programming us, how they're manipulating us, how they control everything we do. They're on incredible power trips, and they put on this fake liberal facade, but they're a bunch of cold-blooded trash breaking up the family. All their major textbooks that we've shown you here say the family's their enemy. You know, and people say, oh, they want to break the family up, or oh, they want to dumb us down. That isn't just a figment of imagination. That's not just a statement or a verbal fancy. It's the reality. And it's a group of humans setting up a predatory system where they engage in their predator hunting mode against their own people. And they're breeding us and dumbing us down to be more easily controlled. That's what David Icke's talking about. And when, you know, I just took 2 years of RTF, radio, television, film. The first textbook was all about subliminal messages on radio 80 years ago and TV 60 years ago and in movie theaters and how the billboards have it and how they use sex to sell and how they're hitting the reptilian brain. This is a fact. And so they're feeding through this virtual matrix. And that's what it is. It's not a physical matrix with us in tanks. It's our brain in a tank inside this bodysuit being programmed by the false world, by the image makers of television in Madison Avenue to keep us off the real world and the whole universe around us through fear, through the desire for money, sex, survival, all of this. But when you do what Christ said and turn loose, he that gives up his life gains his life. He that tries to save it loses it. That means when you're ready to give it all up and just don't care anymore and stop letting that program totally control you, then you go to the next level. And that doesn't mean we don't bounce back and forth between the higher mind, the cerebral cortex, you know, where they say the, you know, the cognitive and the soul's dwelling. And if you don't believe that, fine, that's your issue. And the animal brain, regardless, through this electrochemical computer, we are being programmed and manipulated, and the establishment brags about it, and they put compulsions and mental blocks in you through culture, through television, through the jokes they make on TV that then are repeated by people on the ground giving it reality in this plane of existence, not in the cyber world, the make-believe TV world that's now becoming reality, that it's not kosher to talk about these things. And so people are in a prison for their mind. David Icke, please continue.
Talking now, I've been put a piece of paper in front of me, and I've just been ticking off little things, issues that you brought up, and they come under one heading, reptilian brain. From the reptilian brain, we get all the survival mechanisms, yes, which break out into multiple different expressions of what the brain perceives to be necessary to survive from. But we get cold-blooded behavior. We get the desire for power over. Power over comes from survival, the idea that if you have power over, then you've got a much greater chance of survival. It's one where the reptilian brains, where we get a ritualistic behavior. I mean, these guys, of course, are big time into their satanic rituals. But if you look at human society, Alex, it's just a daily repeating of ritual repeating behavior. The reptilian brain, we get the desire for top-down hierarchical structures of power. Look at the world. It's an expression of the reptilian brain. You were talking there about, you know, addictions. Well, addictions come from the reptilian brain. Addiction to money, addiction to sex, addiction to drugs. And then you look at the survival mechanisms and how they play out through problem, reaction, solution. When they say, oh, swine flu, pandemic, what are they saying that to? They're saying it to the survival responses in the reptilian brain of, oh my God, survival, do something. Yes, compulsory vaccination, yes, anything. Terrorism, oh yes, war on terror. Weapons of mass destruction, yes, invade Iraq. Oh yes, anything, oh my God. It's all through the reptilian brain because they understand how it works, and we need to understand how it works, because once we do that, the defense mechanisms start to go up, and also we can start to observe our own behavior. When we're reacting to things in an emotional way without calm thinking, then we can stop. I mean, I've been working on this for years now in myself. You get halfway through a sentence and you stop and you know, you think, no, that's the reptilian brain being activated. And what you're doing as you do that, as you recognize it, is you're stopping it having that reactive power over you that it had before, and you move into other parts of the brain in terms of the way that you filter reality and information and situations.
And those get more developed. You start seeing the universe more and more through the higher levels of the brain, and then knowledge just explosively opens where you can't even describe it.
Well, how can you accumulate real knowledge and awareness when you're spending the day reacting emotionally all the time? And, you know, I would say to people, because, you know, I'm not sitting cross-legged on a mountain here saying, here, I'm the Buddha. I'm telling you all how it is, and I'm perfect. We all are in these biological computers. The question is, are we going to let them live us, or are we going to live them? Are we going to live life, or are we going to allow life to live us? Because most people allow life to live them because of these reactive processes.
Well, that's what John Carpenter is saying is, they live, the controllers, we sleep. We're sleeping when we're in the reptilian brain, also tied into sleep. We are unconscious. We're really dead. And they live. It's all a big joke to them.
Yeah, and if we can start to take control of our reactions, and when you kind of come from this point of view, and you just observe yourself for a few days, just observe yourself and the way you react, and you'll see how many conflicts between individuals, arguments, emotional responses that are right over the top, and the way that we immediately react to something instead of saying, hold on a second, take a deep breath, let's just calmly look at this before we start making instant decisions. When you do that, you realize how many times a day the reptilian brain decides your decisions for you. It's unbelievable the number of times it happens. And collectively, of course, there's a collective version of this where you have the mob rule and all the rest of it, where the reptilian brain is manipulated collectively to have a collective response and emotional reaction. And we've got to get control of the computer system through our consciousness, instead of having our consciousness at the back of the bus and the computer system with its hands on the wheel, because that's what the conspiracy is about. While we're there, they got us. When we're not there, they've lost their ability to connect into us and therefore manipulate our perceptions.
All right, let me expand on that, because it's been scientifically proven, as you know, but for listeners who may not, by thousands of universities for over 100 years, that mice and other animals know when a hurricane or an earthquake's coming days or sometimes weeks beforehand. They can also do double-blind studies where there's a 20-foot wall. You can't hear what's going on in the next room. But if people are agitated in the next room or being hurt, brain waves, go into a pattern of disarray or being upset yourself, kind of that 100th monkey. And the system is trying to suppress this awakening. Just in scientific terms, from people being, you know, in a higher level when it comes to the use of their brain. So that's why they're putting the fluoride in the water. That's why they're injecting us with mercury. That's why they're feeding us the GMO food. All of this, that's why the television's dumbing everything down, lowering everything down. How do you see this battle shaking out, David Icke?
Well, if we don't become conscious and get out of control by computer programs, then it's going to go on.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
David Icke. He's been very, very nice to give us 2 hours today. We're very, very thankful. We'll tell you about some of the speaking engagements that are coming up here in just a moment, so get your pen and paper ready. We're talking to the folks involved with the 2012 film. That's all I can say. I'm not even allowed to show the revision numbers of this, but I have the 2012 script with Woody Harrelson. I will just tell you that. That just came in the mail. I want to thank folks for that. Going back to David Icke. David, you got cut off there talking about the frequency, talking about how the globalists, the controllers keep us dialed into one point. How do you see their New World Order plan, their goals to build this extermination grid, this planetary government, then carry out the population reduction? to me, it looks like things aren't going well for them, and we're having victory after victory, and that there's an awakening accelerating. Do you think I'm too close to the fact that we are going to win in the end, and that I have a lot of faith because I'm deeper into this? And is that distorting my vision, in your opinion, that so many others aren't awake yet or are going deeper into the control? I mean, do you get the point I'm making?
Yeah, I've never doubted that it would turn out fine in the end. But the nature of the manipulation and the programming means that a lot of people have got to go a long way down the road before they actually see it. And it's a case of how deeply programmed you are before you actually see it and start to realize what's happening. And what I've seen over the last 20 years is an exponential curve, without any question, of people who are starting to get it. They're starting to get it in bigger and bigger and bigger numbers. And what I find interesting is they're starting to get it at higher levels immediately, from being in the program to seeing well outside of the program. It's taking very little time for some people now. There is something going on. And the first book I ever wrote on these subjects was nearly 20 years ago, called Truth Vibrations. And it was named Truth Vibrations because it was based on the fact that I was understanding at the time that there was a vibrational change coming that was going to act like an alarm clock. It was going to wake them up. It was going to tease open their minds so consciousness could enter. And at the time, of course, I'm thinking, well, there's no evidence of this whatsoever, and there wasn't for a few years. But with the turn into the 21st century, I'm seeing it happening more and more and more, and it needs to happen. This is the way we're going to turn this around. But they're going to push it, obviously, as much as they can to get their structure in place. But I do sense a feeling of increasing panic, because every day they take to do it, more and more people are waking up. And I'm very optimistic, not that there's not going to be some enormous, real big challenges to come, but I'm getting more and more optimistic. And, you know, it's a phrase I use from time to time. Life tends to give us our greatest gifts, brilliantly disguised as our worst nightmares. You know, sometimes what appears to be our worst nightmare turns out to be our greatest gift, like massive ridicule for me in the early 1990s, right up to, you know, almost the year 2000. I went through incredible ridicule in Britain. But it set me free, because it set me free of concern about what people thought of me, which allowed me to open my mind and allow consciousness in. And some of these challenges, you know, which we don't like, I mean, who does, are actually going to wake a lot of people up and set them free. There's a line in a song which goes, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And, you know, when we think we've got something to lose, that reptilian brain survival mechanism is controlling us. Oh, my goodness, yes, anything. I don't want to lose this, anything. But when you lose it, you go, well, hold on a second. What have I actually lost? This is okay. I can deal with this. And actually, life's nicer. Isn't it funny that people, I talk to so many people who lived through the Second World War in Britain, who say life was much nicer during the war, because people were nicer to each other and all the rest of it. They never had much, and they were helping each other because they never had much, in ways that as soon as the war was over, every man for himself, all that stopped, and my goodness me, as it stopped now.
And it also made them enjoy things more, because they had less...
They smelled the roses, because they thought, they didn't know how long the roses were going to be there to be smelled. And you know, there's so many challenges, Alex, which I've had some big ones in my life. We all have. When I look back, I think I didn't like it at the time, but I wouldn't change a thing, because I am what I am, not despite that, but to a large extent because of it.
Well, there's that.
If we experience these challenges from that perspective, rather than, oh my God, reptilian brain, then not only are we going to get through them with less pain and all the rest of it, we're actually going to think straight in a way that's going to allow us to get through them in a much more effective way.
Absolutely. And the point I was going to add is that so many people in these pyramidal power structures, they are just as imprisoned as lowly little minions
totally.
Of the system. And more I'm talking to people that think of themselves as the elite, and they're beginning to realize this is a prison. They're beginning to realize they're drinking sodium fluoride. Their kids are drinking it. They're
exactly.
beginning to realize that this system affects everybody. And they're beginning to realize that the television and the culture and the dumbing down is taking their children from them. and destroying their own destiny. So I'd like you to speak to that, and then I want to bring up Rolling Stone magazine that I just happened to see laying there on the Commons table at the Emmis building where I was doing the Sunday radio show, syndicated show. I want to break this down, what Ray Kurzweil is saying. And we've got our vision of the future, liberty, freedom, you know, dynamic human spirit, a new renaissance, you know, to the power of a trillion versus their renaissance, a very dark renaissance in their own words. They just say that it's beautiful, but clearly it's quite ugly. But, I mean, can you speak to the point I just made?
Yeah, this is a point I make as often as I can, because we go back to the sheep policing the herd, the sheep policing themselves. Because when you're talking about people in full awareness of this agenda and in full support of advancing it, you're talking about a dramatically few people compared with the global population. You're certainly not looking at enough to administer the institutions of control that we see across global society. So you need people in your target population to do the administration for you. This is why when you look at the pyramid structure of these organizations and these secret societies, whatever, you're looking at the few at the top in full awareness of what it's all about. And as you go further down the pyramid, you each step down knows less and less and less and less about the big picture, only their part in it. And so they've got right across the system people in dark suits and they're like, who are administering this system and are welded to it in terms of their subordination to it. Oh, don't rock the boat. Oh, don't you know, step out of line. Don't say anything.
They get to dominate those under them, and they get dominated from those above them. It's a psycho system.
Yes, it is. And what we need to do, this is a very important area, is to get those people to actually, again, look around them, take a deep breath, and just look at it again. And by connecting dots, you can let people who are in those systems realize how their dot connects with everyone else's, because stopping them realizing that is how the whole system works. So people make their daily contribution to a control system, not realizing that their dot is adding to other dots to make the control system. And it's so important that those people understand, whether they're in uniform or whether they're in dark suit professions, that their children are going to have to live in the world that they are helping fundamentally to introduce. You know, all these legislation that is even written and administered around the world to build this police state is done by people who are themselves and their children and grandchildren are going to be subjected to that police state that they're helping to build.
And talk about a fraud.
For their own families, you know, and they need to start stepping out of that pyramid, because when they do, and refusing to play a part in it, because when they do, the pyramid collapses because they're holding it up.
Just let me throw a point in here, David. Exactly. Let me throw a point in. I mean, to talk about how it's all a facade and all a matrix illusion, look at the world banking system out of fiat currency with a handful of less than 15 families who rule the planet because they bought off governments to say that they issued the backing of the money. I mean, it's all just a fraud. And then out of that, what they're doing right now economically, trying to bankrupt things. So we have to depend on the state and have to be under their control, looks like a desperate gamble.
Yeah, we have to say no, we're not building our own prison anymore. And then something fantastic happens. We stop building our own prison, and the next thing is the prison isn't being built, and there is no prison. Look how many people work for the banking system and administer it and make it happen compared with the number of people that own it. It's fantastic.
David Icke, let's come back and talk about solutions, and at the bottom of the hour, start taking phone calls. I'm also going to get into this. They say the elite are going to live forever in Rolling Stone. Oh, I thought I heard that in Endgame. We'll break it down. InfoWars.com.
I literally burn with passion and desire. I can literally taste it as my my teeth clench and lock together. I can feel my ancestors' victories against tyranny and the great battles they fought, the struggles of the species, everything it is to the human. I can feel it coursing through my very bones, my heart, my guts, the sinews in my forearms, my fists that are cracked and arthritic, burn with power. All of you have that same human spark. Your destiny is to build. Your destiny is to create. Your destiny is to be free. Free of bondage. Free of lesser men's control. And I want you to stand up. And I want you to get focused. And I want you to stop being afraid of turning your own personal destiny and the power that God has put in each of us. We are literally made in the image of the creator of the universe. Do you realize that's why the New World Order hates you? That's why the devil hates you? And that's why they're so afraid of us? We are literally not even at embryonic form of what humanity is going to become. We have not even become a larva yet, ladies and gentlemen. And every ounce of my being only wants to see the species do well and to grow and to turn into what we are to become. All of our trials, all of our tribulations, everything we are. And you look at who our heroes are today, basketball players, football players, things that mean nothing today and will mean even less tomorrow or next year. No longer is it the people that stand up against tyranny that are the heroes. No longer is it the people that save burning children from a building. No longer is it individuals who invent incredible new technologies. No longer. They know how to take your heroes and give you false heroes. They know how to punch your buttons and manipulate you. And it's time that you literally break out of that cage. It's time for you to bust out and break out like the Incredible Hulk. It's time to get wild. There's nothing that can stop us if we just turn it all loose. Ah, yeah, yeah. Ah, I can feel the freedom. You can break through the New World Order right now. You can stop being a slave right now. Just a kiss away. All these people that hate beauty, all these people that hate strength, all these people that want to turn you into a pile of stupid, dull-eyed weakness, they make me sick. Everything in me wants life and green fields and happiness running over.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
They are beginning the brainwashing for forced inoculations in Europe, England, the United States, Canada, Australia, everywhere. We've got a disgusting local newscast I want to break down and analyze coming up later as well in the next hour. I do want to go ahead and just fire out the toll-free phone number because I'm going to start taking calls at the beginning of the next hour and covering a blitzkrieg of news. And boy, is it all important. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. But as they say, once more into the breach. And so into the Valley of Death, Road 600. Forget who said that. I know part of it's Shakespeare. You know, constantly at night and in the morning, I write notes about thoughts and points I want to make. And it needs to be done. You need to talk about some of these issues, larger issues, overall philosophy issues. But I assure you, new listeners, if you will simply follow your instincts, because I know what your gut's telling you right now. It's telling you I'm telling you the truth, because I do tell the truth. And I do my research. Does that mean I always get it right? No. But I try to get it right. And we're frighteningly accurate here. I'd say 95% plus. I was about to say 98, but it sounds obnoxious. It's above 95% accuracy. Most of our inaccuracy is underestimating evil. It's hard for me to imagine that there are hundreds of thousands of people conservatively, sociologists and psychologists and criminologists predict, bare minimum, in the world, hundreds of thousands, probably more, that enjoy kidnapping little children and torturing them to death for weeks and then killing them. That is hard for me to imagine that there are people who enjoy torturing innocent people to death. But just because that is 180 degrees alien from what most of us believe in what most of us love, in what most of us like, in what most of our tastes are, nevertheless, those individuals are amongst us. And there's different debates on it, different psychological reports that have been done on it, some quackery, some quite accurate. Some estimates have as many as 2 psychopaths for every 100 people. Most of the studies show, on average, about 1 psychopath per every 100 people. And guess how many sociopaths there are for every 100? Some gauges have 20% being sociopaths. That is, they don't enjoy killing you, they just don't care if you die. See, a psychopath enjoys it and enjoys the power trip of it. And so what you had is psychopaths, high-functioning psychopaths, in command of legions of sociopaths. The psychopaths also command legions of people that like to be enslaved and people that like to serve psychopaths, the whip-me, beat-me types. In fact, many of their most dangerous operatives are the chicken neck ghoul variety that I so loathe. And then, of course, they have the sadistic sadist. They have armies of them. And they operate, the virus of tyranny operates best in a fat and decadent, spoiled environment. And boy, isn't America the epitome of that? Fat, dumb, and happy. It's like rotten, stagnant water that you've pumped 1,000 gallons of fresh sewage into. Oh, it's already full of bacteria and filth, but it's going to become pure cess sludge. Pure detritus. Liquid E. coli. Liquid death. Only the New World Order would come up with an artificial sweetener that rots holes in your brains, kills your cells in mass, attacks every organ, attacks your pancreas, and is the defecation of genetically engineered E. coli bacteria. Only the New World Order would come up with that. And everything they do is a wicked invention. They are creators. They mimic God. They counterfeit God, but in a twisted, stinking way. What they do. They are creators. Made in the image of the creator of the universe, but twisted and dark, with a dark logic, a different science, a different language of mathematics. They come from the gulfs, the black gulfs of pain and suffering. They hate the light, so they seek to tear it down, to topple it, to overturn it. Psychopaths, and I've interviewed some of the top psychiatrists that have interviewed some of the most famous psychopaths here on air. In fact, I forget that lady's name. We need to get her back on. The one that interviewed all the psychos and her on years ago. It was amazing. I've got to create a list of all these powerful guests, and we have them on once, never have them on again. And she was describing what the best cinema description of it would be, the remake of The Manchurian Candidate, that whenever he goes under mind control, everything kind of glows, everything's like brilliant, he feels totally alive. Whenever they give him the program words, everything blazes. And a psychopath is depressed and unhappy and upset, generally, and only feels alive when they've got a child chained down, burning them with cigarettes and electrical wires, and torturing them and begging and hearing them sob for their mother. It's like blazing, burning light. It's like life. Oh, it's beautiful. While they're killing the goodness and the innocence. So you want to know why Bill Gates is so happy? He's one of the biggest eugenicists in history, folks. I think it's a fair estimate to say his tens of billions worldwide for eugenics has probably got more megadeaths under his belt than Adolf Alois Hitler. I don't think he has Mao championed yet, but he'll get there. He's as happy as a pig in you know what. And he likes it. And he's organized, and he's focused, and he's professional, and he's laughing at you, and he understands sociology and psychology, and he enjoys it. He enjoys walking through an airport and just looking at everybody he's running black ops on. It's a little special secret to him. He is, to the power of infinity, the archetype of the punk busboy who puts a booger in somebody's fettuccine Alfredo. And I've seen a busboy do that. I saw him in the little dark hallway from my table looking back where the plates were being put up, steaming for the people. And maybe somebody'd given him a weird look because he was so insecure and neurotic and just a biological android, a suboid demon. And he had that power to stick his finger in his nose and to stick that booger right in that food. And that's what Bill Gates is, but a giant, powerful, spoiled, wicked little busboy. And he's going to stick sodium fluoride in your water. He's going to give you special shots that are going to make you feel real good, because he is a smiley-faced, demon-eyed, right out of the pit of hell, and I swear eternal resistance to you. And I spend my life, and I spend my fortune, and I spend my soul and my energy ramming straight into you with everything I got. Soft kill operation, slowly turning the heat up. soft kill, silent weapons for quiet wars. They want to continue to leave the shopping malls open, the green hills, the blue sky, the happy girls, the football games. As the background noise, the police girding themselves in black uniforms and masks begin to march, as the citizen squads are formed, as the foreign troops drill, as the banks bankrupt the society. The FEMA camps are to be introduced as places of refuge, places you want to go. The free medical care. They make you fear the flu, so you willingly come to them and willingly show the vampires your neck as they sink their fangs into the warm flesh. They hypnotize. They have you lower your defenses. Steal your heart. Fire up your soul like a giant jet engine and rise against the tyranny. Break the chains. Awaken to reality. Awaken to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Know the truth, the whole of it. If you make the decision to put one foot in front of the other and ask God to put you on the journey to truth, He will be given the discernment. He will have the veils lifted. He will be given great knowledge. But only if it is to be used to stand against the tyranny, to warn your fellow men and women everywhere. I call on the leaders. I call on those of you who from the day you were born, from the time you were formed in your mother's womb, the creator of the universe and all the dimensions and all that is and will ever be, the I am that I am, has a mission for you. But you were given free will, and so you have to take that mission up in your hands. You have to face the fear of the great dog that roars on the field in an attempt to stifle your will. You have to stand against the New World Order. You have to resist it. You have to go through the fire and commit even unto death, even unto imprisonment, to sacrifice yourself in this holy cause of liberty and freedom. You must pledge yourself on the altar of freedom. You must commit your entire being and pledge eternal resistance to tyranny. Only now, at this point, will you be ready to take up your destiny. Now he sees and will be as it lies to see. The issue to men out there is some of the more dominant Greek city-states were tired of the city-states killing each other, and they decided to focus their activities outward. And it's at that time that the state inculcated sports into daily life so that the men wouldn't kill each other. Because it's not some child chained down to a bed having their teeth pulled out. It is a vicious man rippling with muscles in focus who is going to kill you. And it is real. And it is an animating contest of liberty. Who will survive? And so that's why you go paint yourself up in war paint and yell and scream at a football game. And it's not even bad in of itself, except that you're not in the arena. You are now learning to live through other men and through other women instead of being in the arena yourself. And let me tell you what those instincts for war and strength and what those instincts to get up in front of a crowd are for. It is for leadership to defend the women and children. But as societies got larger and became agrarian and as city-states were developed, then it was more sophisticated and more mechanized to have war with your neighbor and survive, and it became a science. And then the science of war became light years more sophisticated than it was thousands of years ago. Toward now, the directed energies of the system are the overclass using the entire scientific funding mechanisms of the nation states to form a world government that then destroys the nation states and brings in a planetary regime of oppression and control and sterilization and micromanagement. A hellish global regime where everything you do and say and speak and own is chronicled, where societies are squeezed and trampled and herded into control grids, into culling pins. And everything I've told you over these years has now been said by Pelosi and said by Holdren, the czar over science. These bastards publish full-length textbooks detailing the grisly operation. Everything I've said has been validated. Now, four books he's contributed to or that he wrote in total have now emerged. In total, 3,000 nightmare pages plus that must be read. Each new page, a grisly horror show. You know why? Because this isn't some nut, some recluse in a backwoods cabin saying this. This is the elite. He has been chosen because his textbook, and I've now read over 400 pages of it, has been adopted. He is honored. They all compete with different plans that are very similar and to fine-tune the current eugenics operations. And his plan, along with Ehrlich, has been adopted. And so when you see headlines like Bill Gates wants to control the weather to save the earth from global warming, see, everything's going to be converted to this fake survival mechanism. They know you're designed and built around defense. So they create fake wars that are actually meant to destroy you. They create the fake terrorist, or they fund real terrorists. They create the fake environmental movement to tax carbon that is part of the entire life cycle, and all industry and all life won't you exhale 2.5 pounds of a day. They create a fake climate system where they then use the very climate machines they've created to hurt the environment, create droughts, create floods and freak weather, and then you fund them to publicly fight what they've created. We'll come back, finish up with this, and go through a lot more on the other side. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are, devil in disguise. You fool me with your kisses. You cheated and you schemed. Heaven knows how you lied to me. You're not the way you seem. You look like an angel. Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel, but I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Get wise, folks. Devil in disguise. Not Q getting suckered. Not Q clinging to the tyranny.
I thought that I was in heaven, but I was sure surprised. Heaven help me, I didn't see the devil in your eyes. You look like an angel.
Look like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
He's got a new documentary out. Global warming, emerging science and understanding. He also has another film we carry, Global Warming or Global Government. You need to show these to your friends and family and neighbors. First, they get you all hyped up that humans are bad. It's for the earth. We're going to save it. This is social workers, bureaucracy, feudalism, serfdom. They want to go to a post-industrial system of total bondage and slavery under environmental crimes. And it's not toxic waste dumping they're worried about or open-air planting of cross-species genetic engineered organisms that could cause a problem. It's not about real environmentalism or conservation. It's about control. Dr. Michael Kaufman, so much has happened since we had you on 6 months ago. Time just flies. They've passed the total carbon tax takeover. It was worse than we feared. They kept the bill secret till after it passed. Total federalization, home inspections, shutting down selectively whatever they want. Every federal agency and sub-agencies with the power to levy carbon taxes arbitrarily. It seems the new direction in government is just to give dictatorial power to the agency. They've got gun bills introduced to let the attorney general ban any guns he wants at his stroke of a pen, if he just states it. That allow him to put anybody on a no-fly list or no gun buy list. No judge, no jury, no conviction. It's the same thing with this global carbon system. They just set up offshore authorities, and then we're ruled by them. Dr. Kaufman.
Absolutely, because we have no way of actually addressing somebody that's offshore that does not have any accountability to us whatsoever. And that's why they're doing it, because they want to basically control the U.S. economy. And remember, we've talked about this on your program before, for every bit of carbon dioxide that's emitted, it has a corresponding impact on our economy. It's almost a one-to-one ratio. So if we reduce our carbon emissions by 20%, we reduce our economy about by 20%. It's a terrible, terrible thing. They're trying to get renewable energy to take its place, but Spain has shown that for every green job created with renewable energy, they lose 2.5 jobs. It costs hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in Spain. They have 18% unemployment. They've been doing this for 10 years.
But see, the government,
right there.
But see, the government then directs the switchover in the economy, and the profits only go to a select few, so
yeah.
It vertically integrates. But they know carbon's not bad, Dr. Kaufman. They know it's what plants breathe. That's why they diabolically chose carbon to tax, knowing it's a carbon cycle and we're carbon-based life forms.
Absolutely. And this new DVD that you mentioned, Global Warming and Emerging Science, has new footage in it from the old DVD that clearly, I mean, absolutely and positively shows that man cannot be causing global warming. In fact, a new study was just released yesterday that basically says that all of the carbon dioxide in the last 600,000 years couldn't be responsible for the warming and the cooling. There is no correlation whatsoever. It calls into serious doubt. This is peer-reviewed in Nature Science. Peer-reviewed science that shows that there is strong evidence that questions now the man-caused global warming theory based on carbon dioxide. So everything is against these people, yet you see in Congress them major, major push. How they got it, they introduced the bill on May 15th. It was passed on June 26th. Over 1,000, almost 1,500 pages long. Nobody had a chance to read it. It's the most expensive bill this country has ever passed. It was rammed through Congress, and what it contains will blow your mind. It basically, everything that you said in introducing this whole subject is true, plus a lot. I mean, you're only touching the surface areas. It will destroy this nation as we know it now.
But that's exactly what the Club of Rome, that's exactly what Holdren called for. Let's first get into academia. I mean, you have worked around these phony environmentalists. You've been around them. In my experience, the vast majority of them do believe in neo-eugenics. They do believe in sterilization. They do believe in one-child policies. And now they're openly pushing it, saying babies are bad. They have a bad carbon footprint. I'm going to show some headlines to people here in a moment. And really, these are just control freaks who want a managed collectivist economy. And they're making their move right now. And now we have the president's technology advisor's textbook, 1,100 pages, saying forcibly drug the water, have CPS take all the children. We wonder why the government seems so out of control and nuts. They're not nuts. They know what they're doing.
Well, they're nuts. They're absolutely insane. There's no question about that. But they are doing it deliberately, yes. There's no question about it for exactly the reasons you're discussing. In fact, I am literally astonished that anybody in their right mind would even consider doing what is being done right now, because there is no justification for it whatsoever other than the political justification of destroying us and rebuilding it in their image under their control. That's the whole
thing. No, they're communist. They're communist. I mean, they are scum. I'm sorry I interrupted. Yes, destroying us, rebuilding us in their image. It's really happening. They're taking over healthcare, industries. They're seizing everything. I mean, they are going to destroy the economy, and the only jobs you're going to get is from them on welfare or through a government contract. Dr. Michael Kaufman, I wanted to continue to talk about the film Global Warming, Emerging Science and Understanding here in this final segment. We're carrying this and your other documentary, Global Warming or Global Governance. Everyone needs to see this. Just because our listeners may know all about this, their friends, their family, other school teachers, people don't know. And so we need to reach out and educate the public. Even if they pass these global carbon taxes, we've got to fight it and expose it so we can repeal it. Dr. Kaufman.
Absolutely. There is no question about that. And one of the reasons we did this second DVD was to bring new, brand new information into the debate, as well as format it in a way that you can give to your friends and neighbors in a very easy-to-understand format. You can give it to your school science teachers. It's designed for school classroom showing to combat Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth. It's designed to share with other people. You can make copies of it to share, not to sell it, but to make copies to give to your friends and neighbors and to your school teachers and so forth, to try to spread this word, because once they see this, and it's extremely well done, folks, this is order of magnitude better than my first documentary, and it is very conclusive. I have gotten nothing but rave reviews from a variety of sources, including kids down to about 10 years old. So it is really a dynamic video that just takes the starch right out of the need for even having cap-and-trade legislation.
Absolutely. Let me just ask you a side issue. What feedback have you gotten now 2 years into Endgame being out? Because Endgame is I think, my best film, my most important film. Obama Deception is my biggest film because it shatters the left-right paradigm and shows his real agenda, and it covers some eugenics. But what feedback have you gotten being in Endgame?
Very heavy feedback, Alex, from a lot of people calling to find out exactly, because, you know, I'm only on there for maybe 5 minutes totally, finding out my view on what the whole DVD is about. And again, I'm not an expert on eugenics, so I have to say basically I know about it as much as you do on that issue. But nonetheless, people are very interested in it. When I say that, it's actually worse than what you portrayed on that, but we can't really say that is bad enough what we say on that DVD. We need to understand it and believe it, and people walk away with their head. I get interrupted on the streets. People who know me and have seen Endgame and so forth and ask me questions, it's been an extremely effective DVD.
Well, we need to make your new film as prolific as Endgame. Global Warming, Emerging Science and Understanding, available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Well, I'm going to be really hammering the eugenics issue, the global carbon tax issue, as we try to defeat what's happening in the Senate. It looks like we may be able to stop it because they were able to hide the bill, 300 pages of it, until it passed. Now, though, it is public, and I think it may get beaten, but they're not going to stop there. So we're definitely in a serious fight.
Yes, we definitely are, and we need to keep the fight up, not only with global warming, that's where I'm focusing right now, my efforts, because you can only do one thing at a time, but this water issue is a crisis, the health care issue is a crisis, all of these things, we need to be active and just call in your senators and congressmen and say, no, we're not going to vote for that. If you do, I'm going to do everything I can to see that you're not elected again. And I think I would really encourage some state where they really have an ability to get in there and recall some of their senators and congressmen when they vote for this garbage without even reading.
Well, I agree. You know, that ties into the eugenics, the government-run health care. They want to carry their eugenics out against us, including forced abortions, as the White House chief says, science chief. Dr. Kaufman, great having you with us.
Thank you for having me back.
We'll talk to you again soon. All of us have to really work on reaching out to military and police. And I know I flop the handle, and I tend to go after the police a lot. And I've said this last year since I figured it out. I'm growing. I'm learning all the time. I'm not perfect. That plays into the globalist plan. That plays into it. Because they go give the police training and a culture that then makes the public not like them. Then they say, see to the cops, the public doesn't like you. And then that further compacts the police into their area and then the citizens into their area. It's another divide and conquer. So when Anderson Cooper, who's admittedly CIA, I was CIA, he said, but then I went and joined CNN, the heir to the Astor fortune, a disgusting globalist, a piece of trash on record. When he does all these constant TV shows about cops in Texas robbing people, and there are some bad towns and counties that are doing this. Instead of having a newscast about how the state government and the state police were supposed to go after these people, CNN kind of halfway legitimizes it, but then says the feds need to federalize. When you don't have Texas towns running giant white slavery rings like DynCorp and Halliburton are. See, you got the big federal international evil. It loves to show you the little local corruption as a pretext to come in and take over. And they love to show the police beating people. They love to show out-of-control thug cops choking teenagers for no reason. And it's wrong. It's wrong that they're doing that. But the issue is, why are they showing it so much? because, ladies and gentlemen, they want us at each other's throats. They are planning on instigating a revolution in this country that is going to slaughter the police and military. And then after everything breaks down, just like in Argentina and other countries, and I've had economists on from there, same thing. Local cops and military get shot up. The citizens get shot up. And then 6 months later, everybody's tired of rioting. And then the globalists come in. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he said, have you seen the CIA declassified report? And I said, no, I Googled it. Another CIA training manual release from 63. How to torture people, how to break them, how to control local populations. And I sat there for 2 hours and read the whole document, and it was everything I'm already seeing the feds do. I just wish we could end this nightmare and arrest all these bankers and eugenicist trash. I'm sick of them. And I'm sick of how the whole thing's run by psychologists and psychiatrists who know how to manipulate us, and they're playing games with us and manipulating our society and manipulating our social system and the way men operate and the way women operate. They know how we operate. They know how we work, folks, and they're manipulating us just like we're in a petri dish, and they got a microscope studying us and you know, looking at us and understanding how we operate. That's what they're doing. I just, when you know about this level of evil, you know about these criminals operating in plain view, you know they're poisoning the water, you know they're poisoning the food on record, it's just, you expect to see things instantly change. But that's not how things work. They didn't build their system overnight. We're not going to dismantle their system and get the republic back overnight. But number one, having the attitude to win, the attitude to take action, having the facts, getting involved, you will get better at what you're doing by stepping up, by taking action. And so I can't expose all the eugenics. I mean, literally, I have 7 stacks in here, this tall each one, pure mainstream news, pushing eugenics, telling you how great it is to be sterilized. And I've covered probably 30 or 40 of those today. The point is, go look at it for yourself. It's a bottomless pit. They're committing crimes and evil and micromanaging control freak garbage so fast, I can't even track it. It's just a criminal society has taken over. They use scientific techniques, and we're all in the same boat. They are screwing all of us. I don't care who you are or what you are or what color you are or where you live. But I know this. I'm getting letters from Brazil and letters from South Korea and letters from Japan and letters from Russia and calls from Russia. And I talk to contractors and I talk to workers and I talk to family who are on cruise ships in other parts of the world and who are at factories in other parts of the world and have people walk up to them and say, have you heard of InfoWars.com? Have you heard of Alex Jones? Folks, the responsibility of the fact that I'm try to play down the people we reach, but I know the establishment knows I'm reaching tens of millions now every month. New. I mean, we've hit mega viral level. My radio show and the films are just a tiny little node. It's like a virus, but a good virus that just you introduce a few viruses and then it turns into billions. I'm under total surveillance. I've got all sorts of black ops being pulled on me. I just ignore it and trust in God. You know, to go through the storm, I'm happy I've done this. You're only alive once. But the issue is we're making history right now. And the establishment is launching all sorts of COINTELPRO, whisper campaigns, black ops attacks. They're pulling out all the stops on me, trying to set me up. And I just want folks to know whatever happens to me, it's a victory. The testament to what I've been able to do with your help taking action. The testament, these type of stories that this writer, John in Tampa Bay, tells me, where all the cops he sees are awake. I mean, I was talking to a friend last night who was in Oregon visiting family. I believe she told me the story, but she was visiting some friends in Florida. I was thinking of Florida. And let me go back to the exact story. Hold on. Kind of download that here mentally. I was talking to a friend last night. We were having dinner. My wife and I and some friends, and this friend was talking about how she was in, it was her mother. Our friend's mother was traveling, visiting family in Oregon, and she went to the Buffalo Bill show because there's a company that does that around the country. And they were at the Buffalo Bill show, and they were just talking to some young man who was part of the Buffalo Bill show, and he said, oh, have you heard InfoWars.com and Alex Jones? And then mother of one of my friends was like, absolutely. And then suddenly there were more people there and they were talking about, hey, everybody's awake here. We know what's going on. My only point in telling that story is that everywhere I go and everybody I talk to, they're having the same experiences. And I get calls and I get letters from New York and Wisconsin and South Texas and Colorado and New Zealand. I've had police departments call and say, did you do this? Did you spray paint InfoWars.com on this big derelict city building? And they'll send us a photo in New Zealand of InfoWars.com spray painted all across it. And I'm like, no. Or I'll get a mean letter going, how dare you in these falls over the in Hawaii carve InfoWars into the rock, or people spray painting road signs in Colorado, you know, thinking I'm doing it. The point is, folks, it's everywhere. And then I realize we have tens of millions of people listening to us. We've actually got the attention of the people. What am I supposed to do? I mean, it's not even so much as a weight, is that it's just almost embarrassing. I mean, I'm not the guy for this job. I'm not the guy to be the leader of the resistance against the New World Order. But at the same time, who else is there? It's you. They can kill me individually. They can destroy my name. I've been analyzing their attack profile. They're more likely to invent scandals against me, but I'm so clean. I'm so square. It's hard to do. But whatever they do to me, don't see the movement as about Alex Jones. See it as about liberty and freedom. And realize you're a leader and that they can't kill ideas. And that you, by going out, handing out DVDs, handing out films, handing out articles, handing out websites, starting your own local radio show, starting Access TV, starting your own local activist group, by going out and going to city council and taking action, if you will take action, people will join you. If you will build it, they will come. If you will engage the enemy, we can defeat them. Because the enemy's coming in like a flood now. There's no more denials. Open world government's been announced. And I always knew at this key juncture that if I got out there and warned as many people as I could about the globalist plan and didn't hold back, a lot of other folks knew as much as I did. They just didn't want to sound kooky, so they only put a little bit out. I went all the way to the wall with the most radical info I could that was factual, knowing that people wouldn't believe me then, but that as it all came true, then they would remember, and that it's that power of revelation. It's that power of the foresight that people pay attention to, and that by doing that, they would then wake up and get involved and join us. And we've done that. We planted tens of millions of seeds all across the world. And now those have grown mentally and spiritually, and they are planting seeds. And so the great harvest is coming. So the enemy's going to stage nuclear attacks. They're going to stage flu attacks. They're going to stage World War III type events, wars. They are going to bankrupt everything by design. They are going to bring in hell in an attempt to block us. But they were already going to do that. We're now just engaging them on our terms. They were attacking us anyways. We're just decided to fight back. Some people say, well, you're goading them into moving quicker. Yes, we are. If they're behind in the race, they don't have the pole position, we can force them to drive recklessly. We can force them to try to push the situation. That means that they've got the momentum and the power and the money, but we got the numbers and the truth, and that it's a fight of our lives, a fight for our lives, and we're going to go 110% into this fight, swinging as hard as we can, committing. And when you commit and stop caring what happens to your body, what happens to your name, when you just get in the fight and go 110%, you're pretty much assured of victory, folks, if you'll just gut up and go absolutely A in the info war.